Grace, mercy, and peace be to all of you, from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who with the Holy Spirit are three in one. Please pray with me. Dearest Heavenly Father, we are like sheep. We so easily follow things that we shouldn't. In fact, we don't follow them. We just go off in our own paths. We get lost in the hills and valleys of the world, trying to find our salvation in other things. We don't listen for your voice. Help us now, Lord, to turn our thoughts to you, to turn our minds to you, to turn our ears to you, that we might hear you through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in my life, I've been many things. I'm sure a lot of you can say the same things. We've worn different hats. Growing up in North Dakota, when I was very young, I was the kid who could sing because, well, I was kind of a novelty at weddings and funerals. They thought it was neat that this little boy was singing, and he was singing like a girl. Going to school, I was seen as the class clown. I don't know how that ever came about. But later I went up through life and I eventually became Deacon Dan. When I was in my first church, I was Deacon Dan. Even the Mormons knew me as Deacon Dan. Well, now I'm Pastor Dan. And this is what you get. There's another slide. Well, not that guy. There you go. Now I'm Pastor Dan. I've been known... Who took that picture?
Niora
took that picture, yes. I've been known and I've been seen as many things, but I often wonder what people really see in me. Do they see me as a man of God? Am I someone they think they can trust, that they can listen to and know that He's telling the truth? Am I seen as easy to talk to or easy to share problems with or joys? Do other people simply see someone who's going through the motions of being a pastor or being a Christian? I guess we never know the answers until we're told. There have been many who have succumbed to the mystery of who they think people see in them. I've known many people who were anxious, very anxious, almost knotting themselves up with worry because they worried so much what people think of them. It can ruin a person's life. One's identity is sacred to many. They will do almost anything to protect it. We've all been there. They want the world to see this idealized version of them, so they put on whatever mask they can so they might make the best impression. In our gospel lesson for this morning, we're enlightened to read of one of the most popular images that we see of our Savior, that of the Good Shepherd. So if Jesus is the Good Shepherd, who will the sheep be? Well, we are the sheep. That's the role we play. We are sheep. You know, that sounds kind of nice. When I envision sheep, what do I envision? I envision a rolling prairie of green grass and wildflowers with gentle sheep quietly munching on the bounty of the land. I imagine animals with thick coats of wool jumping over wooden fences, gently lulling people to sleep by their peaceful scene. Well, in reality, being called sheep isn't necessarily a compliment. Sheep are stubborn. And if we're being honest, they're also pretty stupid. You ever seen a sheep doing tricks in a circus? There's a reason for that. You see, they're very simple-minded. They don't think, they don't have any critical thinking. You can teach elephants to dance. You can teach a lion not to clomp down on your head while you got your head on inside its mouth. But sheep are good for really nothing else but eating grass and producing wool. They're dirty, they're rebellious, always wandering off somewhere they shouldn't. Well, getting lost in the process. They're easily frightened and confused, defenseless, totally dependent on others for guidance and protection. So when the Bible says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray, it's not a good thing. When Jesus looks at us, he sees sheep. And he is saying that we share many of the same attributes as sheep. When Jesus gazes upon his flock, he does so with compassion and concern because he knows that on our own, we're lost. History has proven countless times that mankind definitely needs a shepherd. Sheep, if not moved rather consistently, will stay where they are until every blade of grass is gone. They'll never try to look for new pasture. They're not creatures of change. Sound familiar, Lutherans? In this way, we can relate. Many of us, we like a certain restaurant, right? We always sit in the same place. We come to church and we sit in the same pew. I can remember once at St. Mark's where I grew up, I came in and some people were sitting in our seat, three rows from the back on the pew, on the pulpit side, or from the front, I mean. I was just confused. Where do I sit now? I have no idea where to sit. Because we're it's part of our comfort, isn't it? So I think that Jesus describes us pretty well. We're like sheep in almost every way, and like sheep, we're helpless without a shepherd. Well, like a good shepherd, Jesus is concerned for our well-being, and he wants to protect us. He wants to protect us from evil. He wants to protect us from all those things that are lurking around like wolves, just looking to eat us, to destroy us. He wants to keep us on a straight path, always there to help us from getting lost in the world. Like any good shepherd, Jesus loves his sheep and he wants the best for them. He calls them by name. I went to the ranch of my niece and his husband, and I am very much not a cowboy. So when I went out, there was a new cow being born, or calf being born. See, I told you. I went out there, and the calf had just been born. I didn't get to see the birth, but it was a brand new calf. And I said, so what are you going to name them? And they said, no, we don't name calves because that's too intimate. We're like sheep, but Jesus has us named. Why does he have us named? Because he wants to have that relationship with us. He cares about us individually. In our gospel lesson, Jesus makes a distinction between the shepherd and the hired hand. The hired hand cares nothing for the sheep. They're there to earn a buck. He is content with doing whatever he's assigned to do and nothing else. When he's not with the sheep, his mind is never on the sheep. He doesn't own the sheep, so he worries little about what happens to them as long as a few are left so that he might have a job to go to. If the sheep are attacked, he thinks of himself first. But Jesus describes himself as a good shepherd. So what makes a good shepherd? Well, the good shepherd is the owner of the sheep. He has a special place in his heart for them, because he has a special relationship with them. He names them. He knows every sheep by name, and he does not see one sheep above another. In return, his sheep trust in him. They know his voice. They follow him. You know, I think of the song, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. You know that song? Oldie, but a goodie. You know, I like that song because that's what Jesus has committed himself to lead us, sometimes slow-witted and rebellious people. But we constantly lose ourselves in other pastures. He watches over us to gently bring us back to the fold. And he uses his under-shepherds sometimes to do that. Because of his commitment to us, we come to know his voice. And those who with faith follow that voice all the way to the gate that leads to heaven. they'll find eternity with the shepherd. He laid down his very life for us, as the good shepherd would. Together, we make up one flock, and we have one shepherd. The good shepherd puts himself between the sheep and the wolf. That's what Jesus did by putting himself between us and sin and death. When Jesus faced the cross of Calvary, he knew just what to do. It became his sole purpose in life to protect his flock. As he hung onto the cross, he also protected the gateway so that we might not succumb to the terror looking to destroy us, the terror that's always there. Jesus is the good shepherd who laid down his life for you, for me, so that we might have life, and not just life, but to have life abundantly. He is the good shepherd who knows us all by name. He knows the Father, and the Father knows him. He is the loving shepherd who decides the fate of those he loves. You see, Jesus' story didn't end on Calvary because death could not overcome him. In verse 18, Jesus says, "No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down. I have the authority to take it up again." That same authority assures us of our own protection, his guidance, even in the darkest of hours. Imagine what life would be without the shepherd. What if he wasn't there? If Jesus had not risen, what would our life be worth without a shepherd to look after us? How would we fend off the wolves of the world? Who would lead us onto the right path? Who would find us when we're lost? Praise be to God, we do have a shepherd. And he had the power to overcome death. If he has that, he can fulfill his promises. And he promises us that same blessing when we follow the path from this life to the next. He leads us, and he waits for us to follow. Because the good shepherd laid down his life for us, we have a new covenant that's enacted between us. The old covenant saw sheep sacrificed for God, and now we see God paying the price through his son for us. We're not asked to offer ourselves up as martyrs, like the terrorists think they must do to gain favor with God. Through his death, we achieve life and life abundant. Any God who would allow his flock to tape a bomb to themselves to kill others cannot be the God of love we worship. Instead, our Lord defeated death itself so that we might live. We know who our shepherd is, but do we know what Jesus sees in us, in his sheep? Does he see those who listen for his voice? Is he constantly having to find time and time again to bring us back from going astray? Do we seek his protection, or do we make ourselves a tempting target for the wolves of the world? Our shepherd died so that we might live, and he rose again so that his flock would never have to leave him again. Jesus is the good shepherd who loved us enough to face Calvary so that we wouldn't face eternal death. He continues to guide us to everlasting life together with him. He guards the gate so that we might enter unencumbered by the weight of the world. He knows our darkest secrets. He knows our greatest fears. And he rejoices in our happiness, and he covers our troubles. All that is yours just for believing in him. He does everything the good shepherd needs to do. When we look at Christ, we don't just see a man. We see our provider, our protector, the one who's watching over us. But what is he seeing in you? Maybe you look at yourself and you don't like what you see. Maybe you're ashamed of the mistakes of the past that you've made in your life, so you try to hide them under a mask so that even God cannot see them. Maybe you realize that you don't hear the shepherd's voice all the time like you should. We all have our things in life to deal with, but the shepherd will never turn his back on you. He will never give up on you. He will continue to call out to you so that in that time that you need him, your ears would be open to his call. For all of those who take time to listen, no matter what condition your heart is in this morning, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. The Good Shepherd is calling his sheep, asking them to come home. And we have a hallowed shepherd urging us onward. And I pray that we all enter the gate as worthy sheep.